because in the world of trauma and insecure attachments, in the beginning, I couldn't trust my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, is this my anxious thoughts or avoidant thoughts, or is this an actual, you know, so I had to have guidance. I had to find the right guidance, and to the point where I could then get to a place where I found my own knowing.
Hi, everybody. We are back for another episode of the Deeper with Sophie Josephina podcast. And today I'm joined with Dr. Nima Rahmani. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Perfect. Yes. I'm impressed.
I met Dr. Nima actually at a polarity training that we were both part of, and he offered me such wise and really meaningful guidance. And we had such a beautiful conversation about how to navigate relationship conflict, how to navigate relationship triggers, that I am really, really honored. And I'm so glad that Dr. Nima is here with us today and that we can go really deep on these topics. So Dr. Nima Rahmani, welcome.
I am so glad to be having this conversation with you. It is such an important conversation.
Yes, it is. So for people who don't know you, would you mind sharing a little bit about who you are and what you're doing in this world? Because you're doing some really impactful things.
I am a husband and a father. In the recording of this is my son's third birthday. So that's who I am. And that was all inspired by the breakdown of my last relationship, which I didn't understand what it was, which was a trauma bond. And I didn't really understand it. I just knew that it was a volatile push and pull dynamic that was, you know, abusive on both sides, myself included. And I've just been who I am is somebody who is obsessed with healing, with the concept of healing, with the concept of what makes sick people get well. Training is as a chiropractor. I've been a chiropractor, graduated in 2001 from the Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College in Toronto, and I've been practicing in British Columbia, and realized that patients that are coming in with chronic health issues were all dealing with some form of stress that they haven't been able to overcome. And as I delve deeper into this kind of weird pattern I would see with patients with chronic pain and chronic illness, and then certain patterns that I would see like that were relational. In other words, when did you have that? When did you start getting these symptoms? 10 years ago. What happened 10 years ago? I was going through a breakdown in a relationship. Ah, so I would put together this weird kind of connection, this coupling of health issues with relational breakdowns. And I go, geez, this is weird. Why do I keep seeing this? And I didn't had anything. I really didn't know anything about it. Attachment, trauma. I didn't really understand. I didn't really know. I wasn't trauma informed. As a chiropractor, you're not actually trauma informed. So it wasn't until the breakdown of my last relationship, you know, I was divorced in 2013, me and my ex-wife maintained great solid friendship, but I would just go from one kind of push-pull dynamic where I was kind of like the player. I wanted connection, but then as soon as it came to my awareness, all of a sudden I would freak the fuck out and I had to run the other way. And so I didn't realize that I was operating from an avoidant kind of attachment pattern. And I would just go through the exact same pattern again and again and again, again and again. Finally, this last relationship, which was a 4-year on again, off again, back and forth, toxic kind of push-pull dynamic where we were both really abusive to each other. And I ended up becoming physical when I slapped her one night. And it was like, holy shit. What just happened? How did that happen? How do I make sure that this never happens again? Can I, through all of this, heal and then do what I've never been able to do before, which is create a secure relationship? And if I can do one, two, if I can figure out one, I can do make sure that number two and number three happened, then it's my sacred duty to do number four, which is teach the world about it. And I left my chiropractic practice. I sold my chiropractic practice. And now I help people heal from their trauma bonds and create secure love through my online offerings in my Cycle Breakers Academy and Alchemy of Polarity offerings. And this is what I do now. And I travel and teach and raise my family.
So beautiful. Yeah, I was looking at some of your work online on YouTube, and you speak so powerfully and so clearly and in a different way than I've heard it, even though I've heard so much about attachment theory. Somehow it landed very
really?
Differently. Yeah, it landed very differently somehow.
That's actually the feedback that I've had a lot. Mm-hmm. I ask people, I say, why are you wanting to sign up and work with me? And they say, well, I read this stuff, but the way that you say it is different. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, because what's happening is because I think why it's different now that I realize it is I'm not speaking from somebody with a psychological degree. I'm a chiropractor. I've been working with patients for the last 20 years. I'm speaking from the perspective of somebody who's actually done the work and actually gone through from avoidant, insecure attachment to secure, polarized relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. And so the work is actually in my bones. It's yeah. not from the perspective of like I'm not speaking from like this mountaintop, like, look at me, I have a psych degree or I'm a psychiatrist. It's actually coming from my bones, yeah. from an embodied awareness of the work. So it just kind of comes through me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about what a trauma bond is? And I know I understand the very extreme case of that. What is the light version of a trauma bond that probably yes. a lot of people have got some version yeah. of it playing?
Oh my out? Gosh. let's debunk it. Just like narcissism and codependency and these terms get thrown around a lot, especially in the online space. Like everybody's ex is a narcissist now,
everybody,
right?
Yeah.
Everybody. Oh, my ex is a narcissist. Everyone
mine
diagnoses.
Really is.
Yeah. Not me though. It's not me. I'm not, but he is. I'm an empath. I'm blameless. And it's yeah. like red flag. There's a red flag. So rather than, I want to set the container of this conversation up rather than throw labels around. And of course, let's acknowledge that there are extremes. There are psychopaths out there. Mm-hmm. There are the R. Kellys and the Donald Trumps who are deeply wounded souls who don't know how to regulate and then just goal-oriented, psychopathic. Okay, let's acknowledge that. But just like in these terms, narcissist and borderline codependent, we also have a trauma bond, which can also run into a spectrum.
Yes.
So the classic trauma bond, which is the, you know, this person who's abusive and psychopathic, and then this complete, you know, codependent, boundaryless person who just completely gives themselves up and is eaten alive by this person. That's the extreme. Let's talk about the vast majority of us and how we can get caught up in it. A trauma bond is a really highly polarized dynamic. I use that word yes. consciously. It's polarized, but I call it unconscious polarity. Yeah. Unconscious polarity, because there is this deep need within all of us to complete what was incomplete in childhood. And because of that wounding, that trauma, that wounding that we have, the injuries that we've experienced from insecure attachment because we didn't get our needs met, we are deeply pulled towards others with a similar type of wounding so that we could then meet what was incomplete and hopefully resolve it. And that pull into that magnetic pull to complete it is very, very sticky, very magnetic. And that's why I call it unconscious polarity. Most of us, when we talk about polarity, we've experienced polarity. It's in that first phase of love bombing.
Yeah.
Okay. Where okay. the role, let's call it the roles, the lead and the follow, let's call it the narcissist and the codependent, lead and follow. We're not going to label and diagnose people. We're just using it as a role. The narcissist, because of their wounding, because of their deep desire to feel seen, because they weren't seen by their parent, mm-hmm. they weren't seen by mom, they create this false sense of self and deeply need people to fulfill what was missing from childhood. Mm. So led by their fear of abandonment, they see the perfect target, the codependent, and start the love bombing And because the codependent who has the exact same wounding, who didn't feel seen, doesn't love themselves, also a false sense of self, immediately feels, oh my gosh, this is finally, I feel seen by somebody. He sees me. They see me, right? Or it works both ways too. She sees me, right? I feel seen. I feel pedestalized. And the first phase of this trauma bond is the kind of co-pedestalization phase. And what happens is there's an unconscious deal that they strike with one another. The narcissist basically will say, I'm going to love you the way that your mother never did. Mm-hmm. And because I see you. You weren't seen. I see you. I'm going to love you the way that your mother never did. And in exchange, you're going to love me the same. And how do I make sure that you are going to be the mother that I never had? I'm going to devalue you. I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to criticize you. I'm going to nitpick you so that you can then prove that you love me the way that a mother would, because a mother never leaves her child. Mm-hmm. And so that's the unconscious covert deal that the trauma bond strikes, is basically two little children looking to heal what was unresolved within them through each other. And we say, oh my gosh, this is love at first sight, but it's not love at first sight. You don't fall in love with them at first sight. You fall in love with the idealized version of yourself through the other person's gaze.
Yeah.
And so this is the first phase, and it's heightened with oxytocin and dopamine, the experience of longing. Finally, the wounding of my past is complete through this person. And then what'll happen is this unconscious polarity immediately depolarizes with an activation. There will be some form of a trigger, this fear of abandonment, okay, which is what drives this coupling together, then gets activated, because when they merge, one of the two will all of a sudden get their fear of engulfment, which is the other part of our childhood dynamics. There was a part of you that felt responsible for your parents' emotions. Right. Overwhelmed with responsibility. And so after this magnetic, unconscious magnetic pull between two people who absolutely do not love themselves, one of them will feel engulfed. It's called engulfed or consumed. Yes. And then that triggers them, their avoidant parts, which we both have. You know, it's not I'm anxious, I'm avoidant. Mm-hmm. You are anxious in some relationships and avoidant in others. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we have all of the parts to us. We have the narcissistic parts and we have the codependent parts. We have it all. And so what'll happen is as you merge with this person, the engulfment in one of the two, engulfment anxiety, gets activated, and then you're like, fuck this, I'm bolting, I'm going to get out of here. Yeah. And now this person wants space, which then causes a depolarization. If the man wants space, he kind of backs away, his avoidance will activate. Then she gets activated. She goes into her masculine, her abandonment wound gets activated. She goes into her masculine, starts the chase. And now that repels him even further.
The chase and she's going blame.
In. Yeah. The chase and the judgment and the blame. You're just like all the rest of them. You're yep. just like my father, da da da, which then causes that. And then finally she decides to move on and his abandonment wound gets activated. And then he starts to chase back. And now we have unconscious polarity again. And so now this cycle goes from love bombing to devaluing to discarding, back to love bombing, back yes. to devaluing, back to discarding. And it goes through this cycle. Now, it has a spectrum. So we have the extremes, which are highly abusive. And then we have the anxious avoidant dance.
Yes.
So anywhere in the two, I have been able to see in the students that I work with and the clients that I work with, there's a spectrum and it goes from the extremes. I don't work with the extremes. Mm-hmm. The extremes are mainly, a lot of them will need some, you know, like recovery. There's usually addiction. And so that's the kind of the Jerry Springer type of vibe. I work with the people that are kind of like professionals. They are intelligent. They're successful. They're like, why am I such a boss babe at work? I'm freaking crushing it, but then I'm just powerless in my personal relationships. And so they've been able to, you know, there's some level of intelligence. They've done the work. They just have troubles constantly finding themselves in the same, you know, why do I keep attracting the same avoidant partner? And they go through this cycle, even though it's not as extreme as that kind of one side, you're going through this cycle of love bombing, devaluing, discarding, love bombing, devaluing again and again and again, until you actually work towards healing and breaking free from that trauma bond. And so unless you individuate from mom and dad, you can leave this person. But then the next partner is like the same freaking dance. So at some point, the person who reaches out to me is like, all right, this is shitty what's happening in my marriage, but this isn't the first time.
Yes.
Like, I want to heal where the root cause of that is. And so that's where the deep work comes in.
I would like to bring in a bit of my own story, if I may, because I think it might illustrate really well what we're talking about here.
Sure.
And I haven't spoken about this publicly a lot, but my childhood was quite traumatic. My mother she's no longer with us, but she had severe borderline. So I have some childhood trauma, and I've always had therapy my entire life. The big pain of my life is that people left me while I was hurting. So I've been chronically ill my whole life, and especially my mother in her illness would leave me with like kidney infections or like just severely ill. She just wouldn't take me to the hospital, which was her illness, which is something that I understand. But the fascinating part is that I've repeated it in every single relationship I've gone into. And I pride myself that I was always attracted to like really good men. Like everybody who would meet my ex-boyfriends and my current partner would all think these are really good men. And yet I seem to repeat it. So I had one relationship ended on the day of my mother's funeral. Another relationship ended while I was miscarrying from him, right? And so I repeat it so violently. There is a version of that happening in my current relationship too. And I am not 23 anymore. I am now a 33-year-old lady. And it is so easy to be in the victim. It is so easy to say, I've just attracted men who are avoidant or abusive or shitty or whatever. But it's too simple.
They cut me out when I need them the most.
Yeah. They freak out when it matters. They don't want to show up when it's difficult. They just want the fun, whatever stories I made up. It's very easy to stay in the victim, and it hasn't brought me anywhere.
That's right.
Now, the beautiful thing about my relationship right now is that we both really want to show up for the dynamic that is happening, because we can both see there's childhood trauma and attachment trauma playing out in both of us. So do you have, because I'm sure other people listening to this, they might also think like, yeah, every relationship has this weird repeating pattern. I think what my own process with it has been, and I'm really curious what your thoughts are on this, is like, I almost started blaming myself. I was like, oh, I must pick the shitty ones, or I must make them shitty. So the blame went from them to myself. Mm-hmm. I must make them shitty.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious if you have any thoughts while you're here.
Absolutely. So I have lots of thoughts. I work, you know, when I'm working with my clients, I really go intuitive, because, you know, healing trauma is a spiritual path, right? Healing trauma is very spiritual. We can talk about the neuroscience of it, but if we're talking about healing is not scientific. It's actually a very spiritual process. And so what I would ask you, are you ready to go, you know, are you willing to go kind of deep with this?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Okay, great. So, Sophie, so tell me if you can take away all judgment. You just said that you're blaming yourself. Mm-hmm. You go from blaming him to blaming yourself. And so this is the journey. I'm actually writing a book about this. It's called Becoming Trigger Proof, Villain's Journey to Breaking Trauma Bonds and Attracting Secure Love. And the interesting thing is that everybody goes from blaming them, and then the pendulum swings to blaming you. And then once you integrate both of these aspects of you, these shadow parts of you, and you realize there's nothing to blame. So my curiosity is this, is that what part of you, are you ready? And no judgment. What part of you really loves the shit out of this story? If you can do it with fun and playfulness and not make it wrong, because that's really how to integrate these aspects of you, because they're calling on you for attention. They want to be seen by you. What do you love about this? At the time, let me ask you this. At the time, going back when you were sick and your mom wasn't there and you were left, go to one moment in particular. If you can go to that moment, closing your eyes, you just go there and see that pain of abandonment in that moment, and just feel it, where you felt this loneliness, that you were abandoned when you were needed it the most. at that exact moment, go there. Where were you supported? Who took care of you? Who looked after you? Who was like putting you on a pedestal in that moment?
I feel like the world was, because it was so unjust.
Okay. The world was. Were there uncles, aunts? Were there medical professionals?
No. But I did. I remember feeling like, I know what's happening is so unjust. The whole world will agree that this is not okay.
Okay. So there was kind of like
an abstract pedestalization.
Right. So you kind of got to this universal awareness, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that it's kind of like a spiritual connection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you surrender to that for a moment?
Mm.
And if you can kind of look back on the other examples with men, mm-hmm. where it happened, can you see a similarity there where you were being? Okay. Yeah. So how do you break free from that is the acknowledgement that this will only happen when you are in a moment, in a crisis point in your life, in an inflection point in your life, where you're needing some sort of a spiritual connection, because being in the relationship might cause you to disconnect from your soul purpose and spirit. You might lose yourself in the relationship. So this is kind of like it. What I'm seeing here is why you love the shit out of this. And this isn't about victim blaming. This is just about kind of understanding, because you're so open and you're wanting to transcend that victim narrative, is your soul could be calling this because your next ascension, you have a tendency to maybe lose yourself. My sense is that you have a tendency to lose yourself in a relationship. So when you have a health crisis and that causes them to kind of back away because they don't know what to do about it, you then connect to your higher self.
Yes.
Try that on for a moment. Tell me if you can relate to that.
I can. And it's uncomfortable.
Yes. Let it's that swimming. In for a moment. Yes. Good. Healing is an uncomfortable. This is what shadow work is. This is what taking responsibility is, not blame. Remember, this isn't your fault. But if Sophie knew that she went through this experience growing up with the challenges that you did, that you were called here, you were chosen for something beyond just the mundane. Well, that means that you must have one toe dipped into spirit, one toe dipped into higher self. And because of that wounding, you will lose yourself in relationships. So you get the gift of physical health flare-ups to repeat that process, to dip you into spirit again, to take you to the next ascension of where you are.
Yes.
Tell me how that sounds.
I feel my system relaxing and softening. I'm squirming less.
Right. So that's, you know, the reason why you were having such a problem with it. And just from what I'm kind of picking up from you is that there's a lot of blame. You're like, oh, it's my fault. Like, to heal from trauma, we have to remove the word fault and blame from our vocabulary. The word blame does not apply in this, because we're talking about two unconscious souls meeting one another to ascend, to heal, to love. And so because of your wounding, you lose yourself in relationship, you become engulfed. The health crisis is your soul saying, get back to your soul purpose. And the fact that you're left alone, mm-hmm. quote unquote, alone, because you're not alone, you have spirit kind of with you at all times, as you acknowledged earlier, it's kind of like, hey, it's you and me again. Hey, I forgot about you, God. I'm back because I lost my connection with you because I was connected with him.
Oof. Okay. Hi.
I'm just channeling here. You know, this is kind of like, stuff. I just feel you're open to this kind of feedback. I just met you. So I could be, you know, I'm just telling you what I'm picking up here.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing here, Sophie, is what I'm really picking up here with you is that You know, he's not doing it on purpose. You're not doing it on purpose. It's just your soul has been over the last, let me ask you this, over the last 6 months, have you been going, God, there's an ascension. I want to, there's this thing I want to do. I want to transition to something bigger.
Yes.
There's something, there's an expansion that I want. I just can't quite put my finger on it. Yes or no?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. So this is why. So this is it. So because you don't take that leap to do it, because you're disconnected from source, you will attract the one thing that you've done ever since your mother taught you to connect to source, which is experience abandonment. So you can either do it through you choose to consciously connect to source, or it's going to happen again in the next round, in the next iteration. And then you'll blame him, and then you'll blame yourself, and then you'll go back and forth, and then you'll ascend and then get to the next level. You have a healing, a moment of healing, because you've now connected back to your power source and unplugged from using him as your power source all this time. And then here you are ascending to your next level. And then, you know, the challenge is, are you going to stay conscious of that this time? Or do you want to wait until you fall into unconsciousness and have your next wake up call? Because your body is working for you. I'm a healthcare provider, and I know that whatever health challenges you're going through, it's not working against you. It's actually working for you in order to get you to that thing, and which was introduced to you by your mother. She, based on her mental health problems, had to check out. Little Sophie felt like she was all alone, and then connected to divinity, realizing there is a connection. There's something greater here that I'm part of, that this isn't just, that justice is greater than what I'm experiencing. Boom, you have an introduction to spirit, to your spirituality, and that's guided you throughout until the next relationship where you mistakenly think that he's going to solve what was started back then.
Yes.
And then every time you forget, you have the gift of your cells of your body and tissues of your body reminding you, so that you can go back to exactly what your true purpose is and make that next ascension. So the difference here is that you either can make the choice consciously, or you fall into unconsciousness and keep going through the cycle. Your call. Tell me how that feels.
I've had a lot of therapy in my life.
I'm sure you have, after having a borderline mother. Holy crap.
I've had therapy my entire life and in every single modality that you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And on obviously this topic also. And I can truly genuinely say that something just clicked in me that hasn't. And I feel incredibly grateful for receiving this. And
sit with it for a moment. Just receive it for a moment. Don't bypass it. Let that land. Instead of blaming yourself, why don't you say, I powerfully choose this every time I disconnect from my source? It's very empowering. You know, the conversation of victimhood and blaming, and we go from blaming ourselves to blaming, and we go back and forth, and you're just stuck at that same frequency. And it's not, you know, it feels, why do we do that? Because we have a lot of shame. Shame is like a hot potato. Mm-hmm. So if it's so hot, I want to throw it here. You take it, motherfucker. You take this fucking hot potato. I don't want it. And then you throw it back at me. No, it's you. No, it's me. No, it's you. And it's like, okay, can we talk about healing now?
Yeah.
Can we talk about healing and understand that there's two souls who have lost connection with their kind of essence, their essence. And we are unconsciously seeking reunion with ourselves through another, but we can't get it through the other. There is no magical other. And we keep forgetting that because we got, you know, hormones, and we have, you know, private parts that really like orgasms. Okay. Hey,
that's best
guilty as charged. Okay. Yeah. my last trauma bond was really high. Like she's a sex worker.
Yeah.
You know, and a madam, I really love the secrecy and the thrill. And so going through that cycle is highly addictive. We're addicted to dopamine and oxytocin and all of that. And what happens is that we disconnect and forget the true reality of who we are. And so our relationships, our reflections, our mirrors, our lessons to help us remember that we are the one, not the other person. And every time we forget and we become engulfed by that, we lose ourselves. Your body is designed to break down when you're not connected to your authentic self, right? And so as a chiropractor, I was like, shit, I got to leave the office. I got to tell people the truth of where their health problems come from. So just by having consults with people who are dealing with chronic health issues, which is all trauma and it's all inflammation.
Yes.
Right. And so what I would do, if I was working with you, just as we've uncovered this, now we know the path moving forward. Because as you individuate from your mother, right, and I'm sure you've done so much work, but there's no finish line.
No,
it's just the next level. And so that's why one of the modules in our program, in my programs, is about individuating healing. That's one of the chapters I'm actually doing the second edit of the book, Healing the Mother Wound, Healing the Father Wound, and exercises in individuating. Because until I've differentiated and broke free from the spell of mother's and father's resentment or pedestalization, whether you're putting on a pedestal and you want to please them, or you, the exact opposite, you're like, I fucking hate them and I'm going to do everything just to piss them off and just as a fuck you to my parents. They still have power over you. Yeah. And you're not free. You're not liberated. And so I really truly see, after helping so many people through this exact same thing that you're going through, should I stay or go? Just teaching people these fundamental skills, after you go through that and divorce your mother, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you now have clarity. Oh, this relationship, it wasn't about our arguments. It wasn't about this at all. It was about what was incomplete with me. Now that I'm complete, we're going to let that old relationship die. And now we recreate a new one.
I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will have this question. Let's say you're listening to this episode and you're like, yeah, there's some trauma bonding going on in my relationship.
Yes.
Is there hope?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a fan of that word, Sophie. Okay. I know in the talk in the trauma world, in the therapy world, I have a different spin on it. I think that there's a lot of toxic positivity yes. out there, and just love and light, and a lot of spiritual bypassing. Yes. Is there hope? I would say, fuck hope. Turn it into commitment, is what I tell my students. I don't like the word hope. Hope is like, hope is like, oh, I'm powerless. And it's like, look, there is divinity out there. I'm committed to co-creating with this mysterious force. I'm committed. I'm not hoping. I'm committed. Whatever distance I have to travel, whatever price I have to pay, this is what happened. I was 43 years old after my trauma bond ended. I was alone in Christmas time. It was just me and my dog. 43 years old. I'm successful. Why can't I make relationships work? What's wrong with me? What's going on? Like, I'm successful. I got a lot going on. I'm 43. I speak on stages. I get standing ovations. Like, I'm intelligent. Why can't I figure this relationship game out? And I looked in the mirror and then I said, okay, I don't want to die not having experienced secure love. That's the one thing I haven't accomplished, you know, which I'm in good company. I mean, look at Elon Musk, for example. The dude sends a rocket to land on the moon and then comes back, you know, intact. He's figured that out, but he can't figure relationships out.
Yeah,
so, so it's not intelligence based. There's something beyond our rational mind that has nothing to do with intellect. And it all has to do with energetics and spirit and unresolved attachment wounding. And I looked in the mirror and I said, I'm committed, whatever distance I have to travel, whatever price I have to pay, I want to find the best guides. And so I found this guide and that guide for trauma work. And, you know, I work with all these different people and I integrated, like I absorbed all of that. I'm one of, you know, my good friend, Dr. Russell Kennedy was one of my mentors. He's now one of my best friends. He wrote the book called The Anxiety RX. He's the Anxiety MD. He taught me about somatic. He taught me about the importance of connecting to the child inside. And I just took his work and I expanded on it. And I just, he calls me one of the fastest, you integrate information faster than anyone. So I was just like, and then I integrated into my own work, sprinkled in with my own intuition and 20 years of chiropractic. And then I can kind of like, as I was talking to you, I just met you, but I could see through people and kind of help them with their blind spots and really lovingly give them a love tap, even though it's not, you know, I won't invalidate your story, but I'm going to invite you to ascend from it. You know, you were blaming yourself. You were playing victim to yourself. And so it's like, yeah, I can see that. And then can we see it a little bit higher? Right. So I was committed, in fact. So to answer your question, don't hope, turn hope into commitment, find the right guide, find a community, because we can't do it alone. And because in the world of trauma and insecure attachments, in the beginning, I couldn't trust my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, is this my anxious thoughts or avoidant thoughts, or is this an actual, true, you know, so I had to have guidance. I had to find the right guidance, and to the point where I could then get to a place where I found my own knowing.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure, sure.
Because I'm sure everybody who's somewhere on the spectrum of anxious and avoidance will recognize this. Like the avoidant is like, do I need space because I need space because she is clingy, or is my avoidance kicking in, or like the anxious,
yeah,
like, am I freaking out because he isn't,
yeah,
giving me a secure foundation, or is it my, right, anxious attachment system?
In that moment, you're in your head.
Yes.
Right. So you're anxious. I think the question that you're asking me, Sophie, is how do I know if it's my intuition or if it's, you know, it's like the classic thing. And so I created a methodology and a process becoming trigger proof. Right. And I use this method and I call it the overview method. Because every time astronauts would leave the planet, they would come back and they would see the whole planet from a big perspective, and they would come back changed people. That's why I have this little picture in my apartment. It's just kind of like a constant reminder to me to maintain that overview perspective. And so there's a way when you're like, is it my anxiety kicking in, or is it my intuition? What's going on? In that moment, you're disconnected from your knowing. So it's important to go through a process where you're connecting. How old do you feel when you're uncertain like this? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm, you know, 12 years old again. Once you connect to that younger part and you bring yourself back to safety, your body, you're out of your head, you're in your body, you can then make decisions from a place of knowing. And should I stay or go should be made with an open heart, right? If you're like, fuck, people will message me, you know, I'm working with people. That's it. We're done. And I'm like, give it a few weeks. They'll be back. You'll be back. Well, how do you know that? Well, because when I'm helping people make that decision, and these are big decisions, people with a lot on the line, families, businesses, so they don't take this lightly. I take them through a process. And should I stay or go? When you're ready to leave, you do it with an open heart, yeah, that you're not triggering away, that you're not doing it as a reactionary, fuck you, I'm out of here. You're actually like, this is the most loving thing for both you and me.
That's beautiful.
So that's, you know, that's the way to part ways. Or after you've done that work and connected to that knowing, you've created compassion for yourself, and then you're able to own what you project in the other person, which is part of the methodology. I teach this at the Overview Experience. I teach, mm-hmm, my method to people who are interested in starting to learn how to integrate their anxious and avoidant parts, their fear of abandonment, fear of engulfment, how to integrate that. I literally show you how, mm-hmm, but it's a 6-hour kind of training that's, mm-hmm, goes by like that. And it's super duper powerful. And once you integrate and you're in a safe, in a kind of safety within yourself, now you'll be able to share and communicate using polarized communication. Mm-hmm. If you don't integrate first, you're speaking, mm-hmm, and your voice is in fight or flight. It will activate. Like, let me give you an example. I'm, mm-hmm, you know, you and I are in a relationship, and then you start going into judgment and blame. And my job as your masculine lead is to help guide you back into your heart. Mm-hmm. But because you've been so judgmental, I'm fucking pissed at you. Like, this is, the last thing I want to do in that moment is to be devotional with you. So if I start to communicate with you when I'm going through that, your body, your nervous system won't register safe surrender. You might comply, but then that's not a beautiful connection. So my job is to first take a pause and then integrate with little Nima, who got scolded by his mother, and integrate that part and then get back into my heart and then communicate what's going on. So to answer your question, how do I know? You got to master the process of self-regulation first. Yeah. This is the part in polarity teachings that are often missed, because we just go into learning about how to, you know, make a home for your feelings, how to, you know, communicate them. It's just, there's really, really important to master this one step, which, by the way, I love, I love those teachings. Mm-hmm. It's just what the missing piece that I've observed is that mastering this one step of really learning how to regulate yourself and integrate with these shadow aspects that keep popping up whenever there's a conflict, learning how to own what you project in your partner. You know, what is it that you're judging in them? Where do you see that within yourself? Can you integrate that part and bring compassion and understanding to those shadow parts of yourself so that when you're speaking to your partner, ladies, you're not in judgment? And that way, because us guys, we're very, reason why we gaslight is we're very attuned to judgment and feeling blamed for your emotions. And that brings us back to our mothers who constantly were doing that. And so we want to show you that it's not our fault and end up having you feel gaslit in the process. And so it's just a fucking, it's a fucking shit show unless somebody raises their hand and says, I'm going to break the cycle. And those are the people that I like to talk to.
Can I ask a specific question about when triggers happen? Mm-hmm. So let's say a very normal, very regular life trigger is I end up doing the dishes more often than he is. It's actually around in our relationship, but let's say it's something like that. And that brings up something, right? And it's like, oh, you didn't do the dishes again. And it's this trigger and it's just this repeating fight and it's about nothing. Mm-hmm. It's about dishes.
Right.
How can couples navigate that in the moment with all this beautiful wisdom you've just given us? Like these little moments where it seems like it's about the dishes, but there's so much underneath.
Yeah, totally. Well, first of all, in the moment, it's not going to happen overnight. Will be a new dance. In the moment, you're flooded. Your 3/4 of your brain is off. So even the people in our Cycle Breakers Academy, even within 2 to 3 months, you go from unconsciously incompetent. You don't know what you don't know. Right. After about 3 months, you're consciously incompetent. You're like, okay, I see it happening, but I still go there. It takes about 6 months for you to be able to do it on the fly right in the moment, because this is like a new dance. It's like martial arts for your soul. And it basically is, it's never, write this down, it's never about what it's about. Yeah. It's not about the dishes. It's not about the socks. It's not about leaving the toilet seat up. Okay. It's about what are you making it mean?
That's a good one.
Okay. What are you making the fact that he didn't do the dishes, or what are you making what, you know, the fact that he's late? Mm-hmm. What are you making that mean about you? I'm not important. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. And so in that moment, the invitation becomes to feel what's underneath the judgment and feel the not important and allow that to move through you, which it's going to take a lot of work, because the last thing you want to feel is not important. So that's why you go into judgment and then you go into blame, because you're avoiding feeling the not important. But in order to alchemize that trigger, you got to get vulnerable and feel not important and let that energy move through you. And this is a practice. Becoming trigger proof isn't meaning trigger less. It means I just got activated and I'm just going to feel the interpretation, the wounding underneath the judgment that this person's an asshole. And when you do that, all of a sudden your frequency, especially as a woman, you go into your feminine. Immediately, there's nothing threatening when you do that. All of a sudden, especially if the guy's masculine instinct is online and you let yourself go into that, he's going to get up and be like, whoa, babe, like, tell me what's going on. Let me, it's going to trigger his provide and protect instinct. And the biggest obstacle is you won't want to do it. You won't want to feel it. You're going to, in that moment, you're going to forget everything that the joke that I have in my community. You're going to forget all of this tomorrow. The second you get activated, your prefrontal cortex goes offline. So you must be in the conversation for a while and practice this. And classic example, had Joe and his wife, Jamie, who were separated and hadn't had sex for like a year and a half, because every time he would have a kind of like, he would make a face of irritation, she would get knocked back into a wound like her 8-year-old self that she's upset daddy, and then go into judgment and blame him for his feelings that he's having. And he's sitting there going, I can't even have a feeling. And this was classic enmeshment. And so this is why relationships become a nightmare, because two people are enmeshed because they don't know how to take responsibility for becoming trigger proof and feel the feelings and then report them. It's just, I have this feeling, ooh, it's disgusting. I'm going to get out of the feeling into my mind. I'm going to judge, and then I'm going to blame, all to avoid what's happening inside when I got triggered. And that's what destroys relationships. And the good news is it can be, if you're willing to master and take it like learning how to play the piano, you can master this. And when you do that, you create a secure relationship with yourself, and then a secure relationship is possible. I'm living proof of it. The work lives in my bones. I've gone from avoidant to secure. I teach people how to do the same thing and break free from trauma bonds. So if I can do it, someone who's constantly in his head, who just was like a chronic player that was never, ever going to just settle down with one, I became a family man. I'm 47 at the recording of this. So I'm a little bit, you know, behind with a 3-year-old, but I'm grateful for the journey. Now I'm ready with a heart really dedicated to serving others who are really willing to go through that path as well.
May I ask you one last final question?
Yes.
Okay. I think I have one maybe final question, because I would understand that people would walk away from this with a bit of confusion on that part. What is a healthy need for love? And what is this like attachment trauma that's playing out and saying, you should be loving me better? Because I hear what you're saying. And I think some people listening to this would take this as like, this like extreme self-responsibility and sovereignty, and like, I have to deal with my triggers and I have to deal with my stuff. Mm-hmm. But there is a part in relationship where we do come together to love each other, and we do
have a
need for love and security.
100%.
So what is the difference there? Because I felt
where's
like my
the
own
distinction
sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I would come to me,
so
like,
this
you
is,
need to love me. Go on.
Yeah. This is how I kind of make the distinction. I say, we're in a relationship. We're going to trigger one another. We're going to get into conflict. Integrate first, then communicate. Love me first, then communicate. Share how you feel. Share how you feel. Share what came up for you. But if you do it after you've taken that pause to integrate with that little part of you, you're now more of your prefrontal cortex is back online. You're now speaking, communicating from a adult place, and you're doing it from a place of self-worth, because you've now held space for you first and then bring that. So, you know, this is what secure relationship is. It's number one is me, my relationship with myself and my higher power first. Then you, then the world. Integrate and then communicate. That's kind of like what we teach in our programs.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much, Nima, for your time. This is absolutely incredible. You've spoken about some of the programs that you've got going on, but for people to find you, where to go, what's coming?
Instagram @DRNIMA. What's coming is I have various offerings depending on what people are ready for and the commitment to getting their results. The best place to begin is the overview experience. And so I'll provide a link for people who want to jump in. And for those who don't yet know their attachment styles, or they want a little bit of a refresher, I guess I'll give you a link for my attachment style survey, which is really neat, which then provides you with a 3 video trainings on how to heal your relationship with love, sex, and money, because it's all related. Love, sex, and money. So after you do the quiz, you get a 3 kind of 2-hour, like 90-minute trainings on trauma bonds, on healing these attachment styles from anxious to avoidant. And then taking that in, I discovered an interesting kind of tie-in with sex and money as well. So this is the thing that couples argue about. So I'll send you, you know, if you want the link, I'll provide you with the link. You fill out the quiz and then you get all of the trainings in your email. But when you're ready to actually do the work, the overview experience is the place to begin, because right afterwards, there's an opportunity to hop on a call with myself or my team and see what came up for you. And then see what's possible for you moving forward.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for all the beautiful work you do in this world. And this was an incredibly moving and impactful hour. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
I look forward to seeing what you do with it. I can already feel a shift within you, and you now have your path moving forward. And I'm glad that we were able to put that together for you.
Thank you so much.